Today on the show, we discuss the tragic story of the Elixni, a society blessed by the Traveler, only to fall to darkness. Welcome to Lore Party, the podcast that explores the stories, characters, and universes of our favorite video games. I'm Connor.
And I'm Kevin.
And we're back at it for another Destiny episode to talk about some of the coolest enemies and the first ones you actually fight in the games, the Fallen, or as they like to be called, the Elixni.
Yeah, man. I like that they gave us like a real name for them.
That's always fun.
Yeah, I mean, like, I feel like the Hive, like, that's whatever, but like, the Fallen, I always thought, I was like, oh, that's a kind of cool name. But then finding out that no, that's not what they call themselves. It's like, wait, what?
It was kind of like finding out that the elites in Halo don't call themselves that.
Yeah, the Sang Elite. I mean, essentially, that's stuff like that. That's really what they remind me of, too, is like the elites in Halo.
Yeah. And that's a Bungie thing. Bungie likes the alien races with monikers, but, you know, real names they refer to themselves as.
I think that plays really well into like a war mindset where, like, you know, at least like in humanity, like when we go to war, we look at like the enemy and we make nicknames for them to dehumanize them. And so like, it's kind of the same thing. Like we see this other species and it's like, we don't want you to realize that they also, you know, have lives and a planet and like this and that of society. So we like make these names to just, you know, I don't want to say dehumanize because they're not human, but
they're already not
something
human.
Like that to make it very much more us versus them.
Yeah, it's easier to fight an enemy when you don't think about where they come from and what makes them unique. And, you know, especially in the Fallen's case, you know, when you hear the Fallen and you see them and you kind of look at how they behave, you start to wonder, well, if they are the Fallen, what did they fall from? That kind of implies that they haven't always been the way they are, which is what we're here to explore today.
Yeah, I'm pretty pumped because I think that this giant chunk of lore is I honestly think that the fact that we learn so much about them and their society and stuff in game now is hopefully a teaser for some stuff we'll talk about later that I'm trying not to get in theories here, but like, yeah, woo, man, this stuff's gonna be good. We're gonna have fun here.
Absolutely. I think understanding the Elixni and how they came to be what they are today, the Fallen, it opens the door for understanding so much other stuff about the Destiny universe.
What are they? Let's go, Connor. Let's do this. What's their history? Who are they? Give me everything. I got a notebook. Let's go.
And if you've played Destiny, you're very familiar with them. They are very common. They're a common enemy faction you fight all the time. In fact, as I mentioned, they are the first enemy that players encountered way back in vanilla Destiny. And when you start up a new character in Destiny today, the Fallen are the first enemies you face. And, you know, they have an iconic presentation. They're like these kind of underhanded, scoundrelly space pirate type enemies that, you know, they're kind of like cyborgs. They have like robotic arms and stealth technology and laser guns. And they seem like this really crazy sci-fi alien threat. It's like a classic alien enemy faction, but there's way more to them than the first glance might tell you. Like, you know, they might seem like just opportunistic scavengers, but, you know, there's more to them than that. What, you know, like the name, the Fallen sort of implies, they used to be a lot more than that.
It's so funny. You're saying there's like more to them. And like, I keep thinking, I'm like, Transformers more than me. See, like there is like, though, like they've transformed into a completely different like species. So we're going to go into like, you know, their history and stuff and like where they come from, but then we're going to kind of talk a little bit more also about like what they are now and how that's kind of affecting everything more than meets the eye. Haha. So yeah, I mean, like, like Elixni society, like that is, it's deeper. Definitely.
It is pretty cool. Yeah. Like they aren't just random gangs of pirates, you know, they aren't just like ramshackled groups of Fallen sort of hanging out together. There's actually a structure. Elixni society is organized into what they call houses, which is kind of like clans or nation states or like big crews that work together. And underneath this guerrilla war piracy and scavenging, the Houses of the Fallen cling to a very long history, and they all together bear a collective pain and a desire for survival, a desire to regain what they once had. And that's kind of what helps them cling together, what keeps the Houses of the Fallen sort of working in a common purpose is this shared history. And leading these fallen houses are what they call a Kel, K-E-L-L. A Kel is kind of like, you know, just the chieftain or the big boss in charge of each house. And the Kels are supported by what are called Archons, which are kind of like priests or spiritual leaders. And then, of course, you have captains who are kind of like crew leaders, and you fight captains on the field all the time. Now, the houses, you know, have a surprising degree of cooperation with themselves. Like, houses work together pretty well, but or at least among themselves, but houses don't always get along with other houses. I mentioned this shared history, but that doesn't always keep them together.
Well, each house has its own, I guess you could say, culture and goal. Like, each one is its own little mini society. Like, I think, like, Greece with its little, like, city-states.
Yeah.
And how, like, you know, Athens and Sparta are they're both Greek. They are completely different in almost every aspect aside from just like being part of a collective. And so, like, they don't always agree, and you'll have like infighting. Like, a lot of houses, they'll fight each other, and then it like kind of creates opportunities, not like alliance opportunities, which is awesome for us as Guardians, but also it creates a lot of weak opportunities for them just overall, because they're not coordinated enough, like, as a species. So, like, there's always Kels that are trying to become the Kel of Kels and, like, everybody, like, the one in charge. But ultimately, like, it doesn't work out. There's always some kind of issue, but it makes for some really great strikes, right?
Sure. Yeah. Some really fun missions.
But,
yeah.
But yeah, so, like, I mean, that's kind of the Fallen, like, in a nutshell, like, the basics. But what they were before all of this is completely different than how they kind of are now.
Yeah.
And I think it's really funny. I think it's almost poetic that they were, like, the first enemy that we encounter, because they're, like, kind of like that trope of those that came before.
Yeah.
So, basically, they were the chosen ones of the Traveler before us.
Mm-hmm.
Which, so it's like we're fighting almost like we're the next generation, if you will, and we're fighting these guys that, you know, you're not it anymore, you know?
Yeah, it's interesting, like, that dynamic of humankind being set upon and preyed upon by their predecessors, those that came before. And we mentioned earlier this, you know, desire of the Fallen to reclaim this former glory that they once had. And that former glory came from the Traveler, like you mentioned, Kevin. Like, mankind is not the first species the Traveler assisted and uplifted, quote unquote, because centuries before arriving in the solar system, the Traveler visited the home system of the Elixni. And similarly to how Destiny started for humanity, the Traveler gifted the Elixni a similar boon of technology and societal advancement, kind of uplifting them into a golden age similar to mankind's golden age. So what we once had, the Elixni once had too. And during their golden age, it could be argued that the Elixni achieved an even greater level of expansion than humans did. Like, during our golden age, mankind in the Destiny setting, you know, we colonized our entire solar system. Like, life on Earth, like, quintupled in quality. And then we started living on the moon and Mars and Venus, and, you know, things that were never thought possible before the Traveler came along were suddenly possible. The Elixni did even more than that. The Elixni reached other star systems. You know, we didn't manage to pull that off before,
like,
our collapse.
I think there was, like, ships that we sent out or something like that. But, like,
yeah, there were attempts.
It was never, there was always, like, a barrier for us, like, you know,
relativity,
whether it be the
distance.
Hive or some other species or something like that.
Right. So, like, We attempted that. There were attempts to colonize other star systems outside of Earth, but the Elixni actually pulled that off in, like, successfully expanded to other systems. So
they did it like, I'm talking, I mean, you want to talk about overachievers. Mm-hmm. They really did it.
Right. Yeah, they went for it, and they made the most out of their golden age. But unfortunately, just like our golden age, the Elixir's golden age was not meant to last. There was this kind of unspecified and not fully understood event called the Whirlwind. The theory goes that the darkness attacked the Elixir home system kind of the same way it attacked the solar system, with these, you know, pyramids and tendrils of darkness just collapsing. I remember reading that the Elixir home world itself, the home planet, was just completely destroyed. And unfortunately, this is also when the Traveler leaves the Elixir behind. It kind of just books it, gets out of Dodge, and leaves them by them.
Yeet!
Kind of, yeah, you see ya! And sort of leaves them to their own devices. And so the Elixir completely collapse into civil war and, you know, an age of darkness. But they clawed their way back. They eventually kind of reunited their species, and they got a interstellar fleet together, basically, to go off on a grand sojourn across the stars, across the void. And they all kind of coalesced around this singular purpose of, we're going to go find the Traveler, follow it, find where it went, reclaim it, and take back what's ours, basically. That was their entire purpose, and that journey brought them to Earth.
See, I think that there's such a big difference between how humanity and the Elixir reacted to the Traveler. Because, mm-hmm. like, we get to see, like, the Traveler show up on Mars, and we get to see all that stuff, like, in, like, that first cutscene from Destiny 1. And then we kind of hear a lot from the speaker and just, like, a lot of other stuff that we can read and talk about with, like, our Golden Age and stuff. Because for humanity, a lot of people, just like Clovis, mm-hmm. they understood that the Traveler was... It was a machine. It was created by another being or another species, and it's a technology that is far, far beyond our comprehension or understanding, and we have just scratched the surface. And they realize that it's, you know, something created it, and there's something about it, and we got to figure it out. And there were humans that worshipped the Traveler, kind of like a deity, but man. The fallen worship this thing like it was. I mean, they're like, this is God. You know, they viewed the Traveler as like an all encompassing higher power. And it was like, oh, this like when the Traveler abandoned them, it wasn't just like, you know, oh, that crazy advanced machine that showed up disappeared. Like,
yeah.
Them,
oh, that's
like,
a bummer.
Oh, my God. I mean, I still think people would freak out on
sure.
Earth, but like. It was just all that more impactful, like, yeah. it, like, you know, their deity that they worshipped so much that gave them literally everything. Boop, bye. It just abandoned them.
Yeah. It was an existential crisis for them to an unconscionable degree for us. Like, if literally you knew God was there and you saw it and you could look at it on any given day, and then suddenly it disappeared. Like, what does that do to you as a people?
And, like, abandoned you,
yes.
though. It wasn't like, it was just like we're being attacked. What do we do? Wait, where is he? It's like they're, you know what I mean? Like,
it's crazy to think about. And that tells us so much about the Elixir, too. It kind of tells us what they've been through as a people and why they are known as the Fallen. That really kind of encapsulates what they're all about. Like, their society was once at the peak of civilization. They had achieved so much. The level of enormous setbacks they've suffered and the downfall they've suffered and the crumbling of their empire, what you see as the Fallen now, like as big of a threat they are now, they are a fraction, like a shadow of their former glory.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They're nothing like they were. And they're still a pain in the ass. But they're nowhere near what they could be.
Yeah, imagine Guardians fighting the Elixir at their peak. Like, it would be over in, like, a day. There'd be nothing
to do.
Yeah, what Guardians?
Like, yeah. We wouldn't... I don't think... I mean, look, I've taken out Hive Gods. I've taken out all sorts of crazy shit. But I don't know, man. These guys are pretty powerful.
We've broken Cabal siege tanks, but... The Elixir at their peak would show up and make that look like like fire ants, like stepping on bugs. Oh, like yeah, there's nothing.
I honestly think that the Elixni at their prime would just decimate.
Oh, sure.
Decimate, destroy completely the Cabal. Like they, no competition. No. So, okay. Well, then I have a question though. So why do you think that the Traveler fled? Like why didn't they flee with us, but they fled with them?
That's the $1 million question, isn't it? Or sorry, the million engram question.
Million glimmer, million, yeah. Million ether, million. There's so many currencies. I don't know.
So many currencies. There's a million silver, million Vanguard mark question. Sorry. legendary shard question. Sorry. I got to stop myself. No, that.
Okay.
Ooh. That is the big question because the Traveler's motives are basically unknowable. I can't pretend to even begin to speculate, but like if I had to, you know, there's something about the way the Traveler behaves, you know, the few things we know about it, we don't know much about it, but what we do know about it implies that maybe when the Elixni were attacked and the whirlwind happened and their civilization collapsed, it's possible the Traveler just kind of did that, you know, Traveler calculus that it does, that sort of mathematics where it's like, what's the cost benefit ratio of staying and fighting and protecting Elixni versus would it be better if I got out of here while I could and helped another species, and maybe that next species will be able to fight the darkness. It's possible that the Traveler thought the Elixni, as powerful as they are right now, are not ready to face the darkness. And even if I help them, they're doomed. So maybe it's best if I move on and try to help someone else. That could have been it. I don't know, though.
See, man, that messes me up because then I think, like, if they were so powerful, and like we said, I mean, we just said how powerful they were. They were, like, crazy powerful. If they weren't ready, what the hell makes them? Like, how are we ready?
Yeah.
Because then I think, like, do you think it's the first time that happened? Like, do you think, I personally don't think it's the first time this happened because
me neither.
I think the Traveler's been on the run for a while.
Millions, billions of years, maybe, yes.
Yeah, I think this whole thing, I mean, we will get into that in probably maybe another episode.
Hope so, yeah.
But I don't think this is the first time. And I also think that maybe the reaction, now I don't know too much about, you know, the whirlwind, like we don't know a lot about it, but like maybe it was like how they reacted to the darkness.
Yeah, could have been.
Maybe it was how, you know, like for instance, like we don't rely on the Traveler. Like we love all of the light and all that stuff. Like we love all that stuff, but like we lost our light and we still kicked ass. Like we were still going at it. Like we were like, all right, cool. We don't have that. Whatever, make do. And I think that maybe the Traveler knew in its traveler calculus that it knew, like, okay, there's something different about this species, like the drive, you know, they don't need me to fight they'll fight the darkness without me, no
they're
matter
self-sufficient
what
enough
and
to,
that's yeah. Yeah, and that's what, you know, I, you know, they don't need me and I'm just here to help.
That could be it. Yeah. That's definitely something to think about, but that does bring us to sort of, you mentioned, you know, the Traveler, after the fall of the Elixni, the Traveler does find its way to Earth, and that's when humanity's golden age happens. Unfortunately, history repeats itself, as we know. The darkness wipes out the Elixni, turns them into the Fallen, and then it eventually comes to Earth, too. So that brings us basically to the modern timeline, the age of the city, the age of the Guardians. Humanity's still clinging to life. The Traveler is kind of broken in a shadow of itself. The Traveler's kind of damaged and sort of slumbering on Earth. And the Fallen show up and they see the Traveler. They find what they've been searching for probably hundreds, maybe thousands of years. They find it on Earth. And they find it just hovering over the last city of mankind and kind of protecting people after their collapse. Naturally, this stokes intense feelings of envy, resentment, and greed amongst the Fallen. You know, they are once proud people, and they find their prize, basically, because they see the Traveler as like a possession. Well, a god / possession.
It wasn't a good breakup. That's all, like, really, it was not a good breakup.
They're a little
breakup.
Possessive.
There's a lot of, you know, Feeling still going around.
They're stalking their ex all the way to Earth and not happy with its new
relationship. It's not good.
Relationship. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not good.
And when they see this, as far as the Fallen are concerned, when they see this, the Traveler didn't just abandon them. They start to think that the Traveler was stolen from them by humanity. And so the collapse, the whirlwind, the journey across interstellar space, all of that really changed the Ilixni. Like, I don't think anyone can go through that kind of thing without changing. And so enduring the collapse of their own advanced society, surviving that voyage, all of that has, at this point, endowed the Fallen with a very strong sense of take what you need to survive. Like, that's kind of their mantra now. Take whatever you need. Keep going. And at this point, it's also very apparent that they are now completely reliant on technology to survive. You can see this in just kind of like their animation models, their character models, and just the way they appear in the game. They are fed this substance called ether by floating spherical robots called servitors. Interestingly, servitors bear a very striking resemblance to the Traveler. So,
oh, geez, man, I don't know. You're dating somebody who looks like your ex? Dude, like, the more we talk about this, the more I'm realizing,
bro,
move
on.
Dude, it's really, like, it is a toxic relationship, man. This is, wow.
Yeah. To them, the Traveler isn't just a shiny, valuable prize to be stolen. It's their wayward god, and it's a link to their vaunted past that they want to reclaim. So they're obsessed with reclaiming their past, and that's kind of what leads them to make war on mankind to reclaim the Traveler.
I'm just going to keep going. I'm going to bring this up throughout the whole episode. This is such a toxic relationship.
It really
is. Like the more you talk about it, like, if this was like a relationship with two people, like, you'd be like, whoa, what the hell?
Yeah.
Like, come on, man, move on. Like,
you're posting cringe.
Like, the Fallen. Well, here's the thing. The Fallen have a mentality that they can't rebuild their society on their own. Like, they can't do it on their own. And I'm sitting here like, guys, come on. Like, you found the Traveler on your own.
Yeah.
You're still surviving on your own. Look at everything you've done on your own to survive. I think they're a lot stronger than they think.
Yeah, they don't give themselves enough credit. They don't believe in themselves.
But see, they have such a large sense of pride, like, in themselves. But generalizing, like, their overall view, like, they don't believe they can continue as a society without the Traveler.
Mm-hmm.
Their quote-unquote world revolved around it. And, I mean, as is humanity's, like, humanity's does too.
Yeah.
But, again, we've shown that we're happy by ourselves. We could be happy without that.
Yeah, we are complete people.
Right? Yeah, yeah. So, wow.
Yeah, it's rough.
All right, guys, we're going to go hand in some engrams. We'll be right back.
We interrupt this podcast with a message from a different podcast. Hello, my name is Lawrence, a producer and host here on Lore Party, and I'm here to talk to you about our Last of Us 2 series. With humanity's last chance at a cure now seemingly gone, the world continues down its dark path. But nevertheless, life moves on. A now adult Ellie must confront the ghost of Joel's past, all while dodging religious cults, militant revolutionaries, and her own inner demons. Tune in to our Last of Us series as my co-host Leo and I discuss the ultimate moral questions the game posits, the characters caught in this conflict, and AHA's hit single, Take On Me. Just hop on over to our Lore Party feed and search The Last of Us 2. Well, that's enough from me. Back to your show.
So, you know, we understand the Fallen's history at this point, you know, what brought them to this point, how they became the Fallen. And it's important to understand this unending series of conflicts the Fallen have kind of endured. Like, throughout their history, they've dealt with multiple species-wide civil wars. You know, Kevin, you mentioned how houses kind of turn on each other, you know, Kells wanting to wipe out rival Kells. Like, that's something they have in common with humanity, as it so happens. Like, humans don't get along all the time either. So that's a big part of their history. But On the other hand, the Elixni kind of share this common sense of tenacity that, you know, even though they fight each other on occasion, they still, as a whole, constantly seek out new ways to survive despite losing the gifts of the quote-unquote great machine, as they call the Traveler. So, like you mentioned, Kevin, like they think they can't survive without the Traveler, but they do pretty much just fine on their own. They have that survival instinct, that tenacity to keep going no matter what.
Hell, they made their own exos.
That's true, yeah.
Like,
they're pretty resourceful.
Oh yeah.
And it's easy to assume that, you know, when you, I guess for me personally, when I was first playing through Vanilla Destiny years ago, I just assumed, oh, they're just scrapping whatever they think might be valuable. But in fact, there's a deeper kind of motivation there, because losing the Traveler taught them to use whatever is at hand in order to survive. And that's part of their history, but it's also part of their current outlook on life, really. That's still part of their general philosophy as a species.
And it's funny because that reminds me of like what we say about humanity. Like, there's always like, you know, your survival instinct, you know, like if you're trapped in the woods or something, you'll do whatever it takes to survive. Like, but there's a lot of different ways too that we get to see how they've adapted and tried to survive. And it's vastly different. Like, some adapted like way beyond the old ways. Like, we have Varix, for instance. Varix is like the main Elixni that we interact with. We've been interacting with him since late Destiny 1. So like Varix and other Fallen, they've come to view humanity like as an ally. Mm-hmm. You know, they see the Traveler accepting others, and to them they're like, okay, well, if you accept humanity, then we should too. And I think that's probably the best mentality we got out there.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean that they don't have, like, you know, reservations or anything like that. Like, sure, I have reservations about humanity myself. Like, let's be real.
Sure.
but some have betrayed humanity and stuff. And some stuff has happened. And they have, if you will, quote unquote, they have fallen, into their old mindset. You know, like, for instance, Varix with the Prison of Elders riot. Like, that's a thing. Yeah. That's a thing.
And, you know, I like that you mentioned, you know, we've kind of touched on these parallels, like you've mentioned, between the Fallen and humans. Like, there are so many instances of the Fallen behaving in ways that are pretty relatable to how people have behaved over time. Like, you know, if you look at their golden age and our golden age, their collapse, our collapse, their struggle to survive, mankind's struggle to survive, you start to think that their story easily could have been ours too, if mankind's golden age had ended differently. Like, think about if when the darkness came after the solar system and the Earth, and, you know, when all that was going down, what if the Traveler had abandoned us during our collapse too? You know, it's, you know, you could easily see how mankind very well could have gone down a similar road as the Fallen. Instead of Guardians, we could have had this quasi-militaristic society of light bearers or techno pirates who sort of roam the ruins of the solar system and maybe follow the Traveler and try to steal it from some other race. You know, we could have been them. And I think the point of our analysis here today, you know, this episode, is just at the end of the day, when you look at it, humanity and the Elixni very well could have more commonalities than differences. Like, maybe we're not so different after all. I know that's so cliche and trite. Like, we're not so different after all, but like, really, there's so many parallels there. Like, you know, what happened to them could have happened to us.
So I have a lot of questions now, because more of like discussion questions, because I have my own thoughts that we can go over too. But like, do you think that humanity now accepting the darkness, spoiler alert, we're using stasis, guys. Super broken in Crucible as of right now, but whatever.
Go play Beyond.
Do you think, God, dude, oh man. Do you think humanity, like, accepting the darkness and kind of harnessing that power, do you think that it could lead to a similar fate in this timeline that it did in, like, Elizabeth's timeline? Because Elizabeth's timeline, we did embrace the darkness, but then it took over us, and then, like, we basically got corrupted, and, like, the Fallen were like, uh-oh, like, what's going to, like, I'm curious to see what happens with them in another timeline, but I'm just curious, like, maybe the Traveler could have second thoughts about us and say, whoa, wait, guys, I thought I, Now you're dating two of us? Like, let's wait a minute. Like, you're cheating on me. Like, I don't know. That's how I'm feeling. Like, do you think that the Traveler is starting to have second thoughts?
Yeah.
That we're embracing its enemy to fight its enemy? I mean.
Yeah. That's a good question. I don't know. It's like, oh, man, the Traveler turning around looking at humans with stasis. And they're like, oh, man, I thought I could trust you guys. What's wrong with you? Yeah. It's like, that's possible. But I think we have to come back to our other hypothetical earlier. Like, you know, why do we think the Traveler abandoned the Fallen? I think it could come back to that. Like, maybe, again, this Traveler calculus happening behind the scenes. Maybe the Traveler thinks the Elixni couldn't be trusted with stasis powers or just anything coming from the darkness. But maybe the Traveler thinks that humans are trustworthy. Maybe if the Traveler saw the Fallen wielding stasis, they think, you know, the Traveler thinks, oh, well, that's going to go bad. Like, there's no good that can come of that. But maybe, at least in our timeline, the current timeline, the Traveler could see humans wielding stasis as a necessary risk. What if, like, you know, I know humans at this point. I'm very familiar with them. I know how they think. I know how they operate. I believe I can trust them with the powers of my enemy because it'll make them more able to fight my enemy. Total speculation. That's possible. But,
yeah, no,
but then
that's
also
good.
Possible that we repeat history. You know, like you mentioned, Elizabeth's timeline. What that same series of events could happen again. It could go either way. It's like 50-50 as far as I can tell.
Yeah. Because then I think, like, you know, there's how we handle stuff, too. Like, how we handle that loss. I mean, technically humanity lost the Traveler, if you will. But it wasn't the same type of loss. Like, there's differences in,
yeah,
there's differences in the kind of loss. But, like, the Fallen are still fighting for their Traveler, for the Traveler to be theirs. Like, it's their Traveler, you know, all that. But how do you feel like, you know, the Fallen versus humanity handled losing the Traveler? Like, we fought. Also, like, I still think, like, you know, we handled it similarly, and it's like we fought for the Traveler, though, rather than to make the Traveler ours again. Like, I don't think we saw the Traveler as a possession. I think the Cabal saw the Traveler as a possession
for sure,
as well. Yeah. But to them, they didn't even ever experience the Traveler, like, truly. So I don't think that I think their viewpoint was they saw the Great Machine. They were like, that's us. Let's take it. We want it. We want the power. It's an object. Whereas I think the Elixni are fighting to have the Traveler, whereas we were fighting for the Traveler.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
No, I think I get you. It's there's several ways to look at the Traveler. There's, like you mentioned, the Cabal, especially during the Red War, beginning of Destiny 2, Dominus Gall shows up and he thinks the Traveler is just a possession. It's just a source of power. It's literally just a prize to win. And he proved not worthy of the light because the Traveler is not just a possession. It's a sentient thinking being. And then there's the way that the Fallen looked at it. The Elixni looked at it. It's a god. And, you know, it's blessing us with gifts. And if we fight hard enough to, you know, wipe out humanity and take the Traveler back, we can regain what we once had. And then there's the third way to look at it, which is kind of, you know, how the majority of people, of humans, look at the Traveler. Like, it's a hyper advanced machine, but it's still a machine. But it's also an ally. It's like not our god necessarily, but it's helping us. And then we in turn should help it. But I guess the big important difference there is that when our collapse happened, the Traveler didn't leave. It stayed and fought.
Yeah.
And again, you know, we can get into speculation. I think we've got into speculation already about why that was, but that does influence the way we look at it, I think.
Well, that's the thing is, like, when we lost our light, if you will, the Traveler was still kind of guiding us to a degree, but we were still kicking butt without it. And we were like, no, we're going to fight with you rather than, you know, you're going to be ours.
Yeah, so not to possess you, but to help you. Yeah.
Because many Fallen, like, they'll do whatever it takes to survive, as we've talked about. So some will create alliances, other will embrace the darkness, some will completely change their physical being. But the Fallen, they go to such lengths to utilize, you know, even texts of, like, other civilizations. What do you think is the best way for them to survive? And also, do you think any of these things are, like, in desperation?
I think in a lot of ways, desperation drives them to do most of what they do. But as far as what is the best way for them to survive, like, I hate to get hokey and philosophical here, but I think in cooperation is the best way for anyone to survive. I think creating a community, I think love triumphing over hate and fear is always what you want. Sorry.
Oh yeah, you really were gonna get cliche.
Yeah,
on
I know.
That
I'm a Hallmark card over here, but no, I like I said, I do hope to see some bridges being built because I you know, I feel bad for the fallen. Like, you know, knowing what they've gone through, I do have sympathy for, you know, what led them to what where they are, and obviously I identify with the humans too. So like, I want what's best for everyone, and I believe that what's best for everyone is uniting against the darkness, and hopefully they start to see that. What do you think though? Like, is that viable? Do you think that would work?
Yeah. I mean, cause also it leads to another question where it's like, you know, do you think regaining the Traveler is still like on the plate there as their main goal, or like, has it now changed? Because now the way that some of them are acting, you know, like embracing the darkness, they're like, I don't need you anymore. Like, I feel like a lot of them are like, they're floundering, if you will. Like, they're just all over the place. Like, they're almost less united and more polarized in terms of clans than before. And so far, I think every single faction that's united with humanity has done really well. They know they can count on us if you know, as an ally. Like, they understand, like, hey, I have this thing, I need some help. We're there. Like, they realize that. God, it would be so cool to see like the Elixni just like walk into the last city, but like as like our ally. I think
awesome.
That would be cool.
I love that.
I think if we can have a symbiotic relationship almost with the Traveler, I think they could also have a really good relationship with us. And they've shown that. And every single time they've shown that, they've done really well. So I think that's probably the best way for them to reach their goals, I guess. But again, their goals are, some of them have changed now. And a lot of it just seems like the goal of the Elixni now is just to survive.
Yeah, that's a great point, that point about, you know, what brought the Elixni to the solar system in the first place was wanting to regain possession of the Traveler. But, you know, their motivations have changed. Some fallen just want to be self-sufficient now. And like Varix, some fallen want to work with humans to survive. I think over time, more and more Elixni are realizing that cooperation is a viable path to survival. And if survival is what they care about, whether or not that includes the Traveler, I think they'll eventually come to the conclusion that peace and cooperation with mankind is preferable to war. Especially when, you know, the pyramids start showing up, you're going to want friends.
Well, yeah, now we're all surrounded right
now.
So
I guess what I'm trying to say is, why can't we be friends? You know, why can't we all just get along?
Well, that about wraps it up. We hope you guys enjoyed this episode, and if you did, please take a second to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. It really helps us grow the show. Be sure to connect with us on Instagram and Twitter @lore_party. And check out our YouTube page for bonus videos and highlights. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you guys next time.